John Moran here. Q1 is closing and it probably didn't go as well as you'd hoped. I'm sure your agency is telling you that they crushed it, but in reality, it probably crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you, or if there's something wrong but you can't quite put your finger on what, go to tier11.com/apply, that's tier11.com/apply, and we'll get set up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business, not just metrics that make agencies look good. Hello and welcome to the Perpetual Traffic Podcast. This is Ralph Burns. I'm the founder of Tier 11. And this is Ryan Hodges. He is the COO of Tier 11. And it's your first time ever on Perpetual Traffic. So welcome to PT.
It's good to finally be, working at Tier 11 for what, a little over a year and a couple months and finally get to be on the podcast.
Finally get to be on the show. You finally made it. It only took about a year or so. It's actually, okay. We've only known each other for a little over a year and 2 months.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a wild ride in the last year or so. The reason why Ryan is on this week's show is because we're actually here at a mastermind that Kasim and I are members of called the Driven Mastermind, which I think is a great mastermind. It's a marketing mastermind. It's, business owners, they call themselves the millionaire misfits. But what I've noticed is that although the content on the marketing side and generalized business, I think, is great, one of the things that I think is really important, and I think it's a really interesting thing that you noticed almost immediately as soon as you got here, is that there's something missing with each one of these businesses here. And I almost look at a lot of the guys, a lot of the gals that are part of this mastermind as they're still in the process of building the business, but they haven't gotten to the point where they can actually take themselves out of the business. Mm-hmm. And they're still so married to everything that they do. It's like everything in this mastermind, which is great. And I highly encourage you, we've talked about this many times on the show, to join masterminds. Both you and I are members of Vistage, which is a CEO sort of mastermind group. Yours obviously is in Dallas, mine's in Boston, which is fabulous. Mine has about 20 CEOs of companies. I'm the only marketing guy, and that's what I love about it. So I don't learn marketing things there. I'm the marketing subject matter expert, but I get to understand the problems of other businesses and help them with their potential solutions, but also I get help from them from other business owners that are not in the marketing space, not in the advertising space. And I think it's a great balance. That's one of the great things I think about Vistage. Same thing with you. It's like you, even when you came to Tier 11, a little over a year ago, you didn't have a marketing background. But one of the things that you told me that I think led to us ultimately working together is that 80% of all businesses basically is the same.
That's it.
And it's that little 20% that is unique. But even that is not probably all that unique. So, and I think one of the reasons why we decided that you were the guy that obviously we wanted to work with is because you understood that principle. And I think most business owners, and I think there's a lot of agencies, a lot of CMOs, a lot of directors of marketing who listen and now watch this show, obviously, on our Perpetual Traffic YouTube channel, they think their business is really unique. When in fact, there's basic principles that you've taught us inside Tier 11, all our senior leadership staff, as well as our rank and file within the company itself, that there are certain processes and certain things that you do to get to the next phase of growth. And I think, as much as I love the Driven Mastermind, a lot of these guys here are struggling with it. And I've had so many conversations with them about this. And I'm like, you need to talk to this guy over here. So in your past experience, and by the way, we're going to start a thread on this inside our Telegram channel. If you have not joined our Telegram thread, I guess it's a thread, it's not a channel. Head on over to perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. You can also watch this on our YouTube channel at perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. So what would you say is the number one issue that a founder, CEO, a business person sort of gets to, like the problem that they need to overcome when they reach a certain level of scale and can't get to that next level? What would you say the biggest problem that you see is and that you sort of diagnosed through your God knows however many years of doing this and all the different companies that you've helped turn around.
Honestly, it's the founders in the way.
Yeah.
It's the founder is they're trying to do everything. They're trying to, you know, micromanage sales and marketing. They're in the middle of the product. They're in the middle of client success. And the problem is that actually stifles the growth of the business, and they're in the way of the business. And it's interesting in some of the conversations here, just asking someone like, what's your vision for the company? Well, have you ever shared that with your people? Well, no, why would I?
Right.
It's just like, but if people don't know what they're working for, how do they know what adds intrinsic value to their work?
Right.
And it's because the business owner is too much compensating for that people don't know why they're doing what they're doing. The processes aren't clear. The goals and objectives are unclear. And at the end of the day, it just comes off as we're here to all make money and make the owner money, the founder money. And well, who wants to do that? Who wants to have a job that makes somebody else rich?
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic.
Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wouters and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT.
Well, I think, and just to give a little bit of a background here, I mean, obviously you're now working with us, and you've done this in what, 14, 15, 16 different places. Like, this is not your first rodeo. And, you know, you've had a number of exits, you know, you've sold businesses, and you've come in, like in the case of Tier 11, you've come in to become a COO in order to get us to that next level of scale. So talk about like maybe some of the things that you've had to work with in the past, or different businesses that you've worked with in the past, where they were, where they ended up, like what you did in order to kind of turn them around and get them to that next level of scale. And obviously in a couple of cases, some pretty healthy exits, which has made you fairly, you know, well-off individual, which is we're understating that a bit. Ryan knows what he's doing, and you can look at his bank account in order to like, that's validity that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But like, talk to us about some of the experiences that you had in the past with other businesses.
Ooh, that's a good question. There's so many. I mean, so some of the background is, you know, there's a number of businesses that I've started, I had partners with, there's been companies we bought, and then there's just been companies we consulted with. And at the end of the day, it all came down to the same core principles, the same things we had to do, even when we were running some of our own companies. You know, it's when we found these gaps that we had, it was, you know, we were hitting our own ceiling. And, you know, we tried, you know, EOS, we rolled out EOS inside the business, and that was good, but, you know, we're still hitting the ceiling. We rolled out Agile Scrum for software companies. That was good, but we're still hitting a ceiling. At the end of the day, it came back down to what you started with, that 80-20% is, you know, 80% of a business is identical. You know, marketing's marketing, sales is sales, support is support. You know, then you got that last little 20%. But then to compound that, it's it's why is the business doing it? And ultimately, I guess we'll get to the Haji wheel here.
Yeah. We're building.
Is you ultimately get into a component of, you know, what are you building? How do you do it? What the culture expectation and what are the KPIs and results? And you'd be surprised on how simple that sounds. People can't put all four of those together.
Yeah.
Very simplistically, they can't put all four together.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that we talked about this today is I think one of the founders of Driven talked about a book that we ran our business like to a T on up until literally me and you meeting up until about a year ago, which was Ready, Fire, Aim. Mm-hmm. And it's all about you get a great idea, just go do it and then see if it works after that. And we ran this business exactly that way and all of a sudden hit this ceiling and I couldn't quite figure out what the problem was. And I guarantee you, like, there's probably about 100 people or so that are in this group here, and most of them are at that point where they're still running their businesses that way in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But we actually met a guy who just comical. He must have like asked like 17 questions of the speakers the last 2 days. And you know, he's gonna like get the most annoying award or something like that for like the Driven Best Award. Yeah, definitely. That's right. Pain in the ass award. But you know, super sharp guy. But he just hired, in essence, a part-time integrator COO because he finally came to the realization. It's like, I can't do it all. Mm-hmm. I can't be the one that says, all right, hey, I learned this thing. Let's go do it. Everybody do it. And then I have to be the one that checks in and makes sure that everyone's doing it. That's how I ran things at Tier 11 for years and years. And one of the things that I think I had to wrap my head around, and if you're watching this or listening to this, you're going to have to wrap your head around it as well. If you've reached a level of scale and you've hit this ceiling, maybe you're actually at that level where you as the visionary, like you've reached the end of your capabilities of running a business singly. You now need help. You need a guy. You need a gal. And in Dan's case, he found a gal, mm-hmm. Emma, who runs the Driven Mastermind. She's an absolute assassin. I think she's really going to help him a lot. Even in that capacity, like it's a part-time role, but she is going to be the one that's going to take Dan's great ideas. And he's obviously a super sharp guy. Same thing on us. You know, there's always like ideas that I have, like how do we get the whole company behind it? How do we get the whole company to actually do the thing and follow the vision, so to speak? And it comes back to having someone on staff that can do that. And I told a lot of business owners, I said, for all, you know, your visionary greatness and seeing the future and really loving what you do and you're passionate about the business, I guarantee you there's someone out there that loves to do all the stuff that you're crappy at.
Exactly.
And that, like, when I realized that, I was like, holy shit, I'm trying to do it all on my own. And that's obviously where we went. Like, you do things in a very different way. You're kind of visionary a little bit. I remember we did like the, you know, the Colby assessments. Ours are like almost opposite, but like they make up for each other sort of at the same time. That's, I think, why we get along so well. But it's like until I realized I had reached the end of my skill, I couldn't take it any longer and I needed help and interviewed obviously for an integrator COO and you came on board. That's when things really started to change within the organization. That's when I realized that now, okay, I set the vision, but the integrator is the one that actually really enjoys implementing it and bringing it all together, which maybe brings me to, you know, the Haji wheel, which is a concept that you introduced to us, like, and I think our first meeting, we all met as a team, you know, a year ago last March.
You know, it's funny as we call it the Haji wheel inside of Tier 11. There's actually a name for it. It's the Simplify method.
Yeah.
But it's
really like the Haji wheel. Better.
It's yeah. That's fine. You know, the whole team that helped put that together, but it's okay.
We renamed it. We have to name stuff.
Too. Well, even inside our documentation, you know, we've got the C written backwards because I'm dyslexic.
That's right.
So we have the dyslexic version of the Haji wheel. I think it comes down to you said it earlier, the ready, fire, aim, right? The business owners are so focused on the results. They've got an idea and they want to get the result. They got an idea and they want to get the result.
Yeah.
And what that really does is that's at the expense of everything else. that's at the expense of the team, that's expense of the growth of the business. And a lot of times it's not malice or ill-willed. It's just, we're trying to get a result. Nobody cares about the business more than the business owner does, or, you know, if there's founders or multi-partners.
Sure.
But you'll have dedicated employees. They're dedicated to the, you've been tier 11, you've had people that have been with you since day one and, you know, they bleed tier 11.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they're not willing to do great things for the company, but it comes down to a fundamental of what is the business objective going. So if we go through the wheel here, it's comprised of four components. Yeah, vision, journey, culture, results. Vision is your belief component. You know, what do you believe you're trying to do? It's the future. It's seeing where you're going. This is where visionaries are great at. They're great at seeing a need in the market and just saying, I can solve that problem. Mm-hmm. But they haven't solved it yet, but they believe they can do it. That's the belief component. That's the vision. You get journey, which is your mental component. And this is where you think through your client experience, your SOPs, and to the ways you actually deliver it. You know, what is the customer journey? What is the way that you're taking the customer through it? And how is the business executing to deliver that value? And it starts all the way in the sales and marketing process, all the way back into finance to how you bill it. Mm-hmm. You know, think through customer journey and how you do it. The next one is culture, which is social emotional. That's how are we behaving as a culture? You know, core values on the wall is not what I'm talking about. Core values on the wall, that's vision, because you believe that's what your culture is. Mm-hmm. What your culture, the social emotional component, is how are you actually behaving as a group? You know, in high school, we all had the little cliques, right? You know, that was the microculture. No matter what the faculty and the staff wanted the culture to be, there were still cliques inside high school that exist even inside business today. Mm-hmm. There's still, you know, marketing teams and production teams, the good old sales and marketing, production, and micro cliques, and companies that don't have strong cultures, your culture is made up of whatever the people create. That's the culture component. And then the results is the KPI, the metrics, cash in the bank, the tangible things. The thing with most visionaries is we've got a strong belief and we want tangible results. So we go vision, result, at the expense of journey and culture. Whereas if you just take a step back and go, okay, what is the vision I have here? And you look at the social emotional component of your business, the culture, and say, how are they actually behaving? If I can align those two components, you will overnight fix an exponential part of your business. Don't get me wrong. You still need systems and tools. You still need processes, still need KPIs. But if you don't have the vision of the business and the culture aligned, then you will never be truly effective. And that's where most business owners are, is they don't have they either have a really strong culture. I've worked with companies that have a really strong culture. Everybody went to lunch every single day. And on Fridays, they went and had alcohol and whatnot and all paid for by the company. And they had a great culture. They were churning. They had the pissed off customers. They weren't really gaining a lot of sales because the culture wasn't conducive to the vision of the business. It was the hangout club. Mm. I've also been in businesses where they've got a really strong, you know, mission, vision, but it's all just redline. It's all, you know, the ready, aim, fire, and it's at the expense of the culture, and you have no cohesion, no synergy. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens there? All your SOPs are siloed. Then you're relied on, you know, the heroes. You know, every company at some point has had it where there's like five key people that know everything. And if you lose those people, you know, you're almost handcuffed to them.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you built a culture around silos, as opposed to a culture around growth, opportunity, synergy, et cetera.
Right.
So that is a lot of what I'm seeing here, is that vision culture alignment is either they don't have vision or they don't have culture or they don't have it aligned. And that's the ceiling.
And one of the things that we always sort of joke about now is this whole thing we call the red line.
Yes.
So if you think about vision, journey, culture, results as this wheel, and we'll leave an image in the show notes somewhere of the Hodgie wheel, which is what the Simplify method. I like the Hodgie wheel better. It's just got a much better sound too. We should probably trademark it. But the point is that most visionaries, most business owners, and the reason why I wanted to talk to you about this today is because I think there's a lot of people that listen to this show that are probably stuck in this trap. Mm-hmm. Where they're constantly just going from vision to results, vision, results, vision, results, vision, results. And we have done that. Like, we did that with customer acquisition amplification, which was something that we thought of And we just started to market it and sell it. And people coming to us and saying, hey, we want customer acquisition and amplification. Well, we hadn't done the vision and the culture to get the result to train everyone fully on what this thing is. Like, we were doing it, but nobody really knew what it was. So it was this total red line of just going right to the result, as opposed to using the word that we love so much from our HR guy, which I always call him our HR guy, Josh Hill, inculcating what the actual culture is and what the vision is within the organization, and taking people along through processes, SOPs, standardization of how we produce results for clients. Like, we hadn't done any of that. We were just going straight for the result. Mm-hmm. And what was happening is that clients were churning.
Mm-hmm. Well, this goes back to the original 80-20. Is Tier 11 was a phenomenal digital marketing agency.
Yeah.
Every person in the organization, bar a handful of people, were digital marketers. They did not know how to manage customer expectations. They did not know how to productize digital marketing as a service at scale. And so a lot of the things we walked in a year ago, you know, when we met in Tampa, and it was, what was the vision? You know, we came out with this one little line statement, which was,
we help businesses achieve their vision.
Right. Yep. And that was such a simple, profound thing. Mm. But that's the paradigm that started the rest of it. And then we said, well, how do we actually do that? What's the journey component of that? We started with camp.
Yeah.
And what we came to realize is camp wasn't actually the journey we needed. Because before the businesses, we had an idea, we're producing the result, right? And we weren't getting the growth, we hit the ceiling. And so by having that clear vision and then challenging against it, we came up with a better result. And now, journey. Camp wasn't the right method. Now we have the conversion engine,
right?
Which is actually a elevation of camp. There's still components of camp still in there in the core. But as we looked at the journey components, we said, okay, we need a better framework to do this conversion engine now. And we said, we need client success. Mm-hmm. And now we have CSOs.
Yeah.
Because we looked, we fixated the vision, and we did. We pulse checked our culture. We got our leadership team in alignment. Everybody bought into the vision, the direction. We challenged the journey and the results. And then we started rebuilding the journey.
Yeah.
Now we have a CS department.
Yeah.
Now we have the conversion engine. Now we have changes coming into, now we've even elevated our culture to a new point where we're looking at evaluating our core values.
Yeah. Looking at reevaluating our core values. We're in the process right now. Which is a big thing, which is something that we actually did have. We were, and for those of you who don't know, EOS, which Ryan mentioned before, is the Entrepreneurial Operating System, which we've talked about a couple of times here. Someday we'll have Gino Wickman probably on the show, to discuss it. I'm actually speaking at a conference where he's speaking at in a couple of weeks. But the point is that it's an operating system that has very specific strategies in which to get a business to the next level. And I think it's a great book. It's called Traction by Gino Wickman. If you haven't bought the book, we'll leave links in the show notes for that as well. Definitely highly recommend that. But what I also found is that we were doing the EOS thing, like the methodology, but we were still redlining everything.
So here's what I love and hate about EOS. EOS is a phenomenal framework. It's a great set of tools, and it's still what we use at the core of working on the business for Tier 11. The problem is the paradigm in which you apply it. If you are not looking, if you're using, what's the Einstein, you know, doing definition, the same thing over and over.
Insanity.
Yep. Business owners do the same thing. We just take EOS and it's a hammer, but we're still swinging it at drywall or, you know, concrete. Use your analogy. It's all in the paradigm and the mindset you use and how you apply the tool. And that's where we take the wheel and go, okay, let's challenge the paradigm. Now that we've got some clarity on what we need to do, now let's use EOS to apply and apply it on the business. Because EOS has been instrumental for our rocks and our goals and gaining traction on it. But just like when we started in Tampa, when we did this in Tampa, I mean, we missed the goals by a mile.
Yeah.
Because we are still challenging. We saw the old paradigm.
Yeah.
But when we got into that first quarter, we challenged the paradigm. We ran through the wheel, and the next quarter we went, shit, we got to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah,
we got to start from scratch and rebuild, and that's what we spent last year doing.
It's interesting because we talk about Hormozy and all of his videos, and he's got a great podcast, by the way, called The Game. I encourage you guys to listen to it. he actually did a, and I'll show the YouTube video of this. He actually talks about sometimes to build a great company, you actually have to tear apart what you've already built and rebuild it again.
Yes.
And it's the exact thing that a business owner shudders at the thought of doing. And I know for a fact that's exactly what we did in 2023. And I'm only saying this not to talk about Tier 11 or pump up Tier 11, but if you're a business owner that's ran into this wall, you can't seem to get through it. I think there's probably parts and components of your business that need to be torn up. Mm-hmm. And we had a staff of, we were just talking about this earlier today with someone at lunch. So we had a staff, I think, of like 70 people, mm-hmm. probably about 35 of them either left or on their own or didn't quite fit the vision. And then we hired back new and different ones, identifying one of the key characteristics and one of the key failings of our business was that we were less reliant. We had one guy still with us, Mike, doing client success. And we realized that in order to maintain and grow and scale these purpose-driven businesses and to help them achieve their vision, we were defeating ourselves by not serving them and servicing them in the right way and not having a client-facing individual, which we refer to as a client success owner. Mm-hmm. And we built out Mike's department, in essence, at a great expense. Like, oh, yeah. These folks are not cheap, but they're worth it. The point is that we made a conscious decision to tear apart the business in 2023, which is a hard thing to do. But if you want to feel like you're actually making progress and you're doing it and you're moving in the right direction, that's oftentimes what you have to do. And it's a painful process. And it was, you know, thanks to your guidance. Fortunately, you'd done it before.
Yep.
So it wasn't like you were just coming in, you're just saying, yeah, this is the best thing to do. Rip away, you know, a couple of $1 million worth of revenue, get rid of all these like lower price programs, do this, do that. It wasn't just slash and burn, shit with a machete kind of thing. Like there was a real methodology behind it, but it was the hardest thing for us to do as an organization. And now we've sort of come out that other side as a better company. And I think most founders would have a very, and CEOs would have really, or visionaries, have a really hard time doing that unless they actually had somebody like yourself on staff.
There's a couple of things. It's too many founders, owners, CEOs have their identity built into the organization, and you said it. You have to be able to reinvent. I think we were talking about in the hall earlier today. Is you've got to be able to walk away. Be prepared to walk away from your business, because, and I don't mean just walk away and let it burn to the ground or let it die. You've got to be able to walk away from it in a way to allow it to rebuild. You're going to have to make some hard decisions. You're going to have to maybe even shutter a service line or let an entire department go. But at the end of the day, it's like surgery. Nobody wants to go have surgery, but we have surgery to make ourselves better because we got something wrong and we want to improve. You've got to look at this as having surgery. And yeah, there's a number of folks that are no longer part of Tier 11, but I don't think there's anything, you know, we didn't, viciously fire anybody. We didn't, have mass layoffs and make all these dramatic cuts. I mean, everybody, I think for the most part, I hope from my understanding, we had smooth transitions.
Yeah.
There were people that just wanted to do other things.
Best as we possibly could.
Yeah. There were some cases where we gave people ample notice that this was what was going to happen and gave them plenty of time to have jobs. So, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be, change is hard. Reinventing a company is hard. But that doesn't mean you have to be a jerk about it. And one thing I liked about what we did at Tier 11 is we did that while keeping the people in mind. We did it with keeping the customers in mind. And it took us almost a year to get through it. And it was very painful, but we were able to meticulously move through the process. That's because we were very aligned. We had a vision. We held ourselves to a culture. And we mapped out a journey and we knew the results we had to hit. And because every single week we're looking at those same four things. Every quarter we got together as a leadership team, we were looking at those four things. And I think, like on our conversation earlier today, I think a lot of these business owners are just too tied to the business of the glory days of when they started, or I had that idea and I got a result. I got, it was that rush. It's almost like that drug rush of success. Well, then the business grows to a point that you can't do that anymore. And they want to hold on to that. They want that excitement. And that's not where your value lies anymore. You have to take care of your people. If you take care of your people, they'll take care of the customer. And the problem is too often the business owner, CEO visionary, they want to take care of the customer. And when they're trying to take care of the customer, it means you're not taking care of the people, or the people aren't taking care of the customer. And you can see how the vicious cycle repeats.
Yeah.
And so the best thing you can do is figure out how to elevate your people so that they can elevate the customer and hold people to expectations. Not gotchas, not how many hours do you clock in today, or I'm watching your computer, or screenshots, or this, that, and the other. The KPIs and the results need to be to performance and execution of a client journey that is well mapped to a vision and hold the peak culture alignment to it.
I think very early on, we talked about like what our vision is and getting very crystal clear on that. I think, yeah, we spent, it was at least 48 or 72 hours in some casino hotel in Tampa.
We did. Yeah.
You know, being very, very clear on this. And it was, you know, I didn't even say it right when you asked me before. It's like, you know, we help purpose-driven businesses achieve their vision. And
it took you 2 days of about 14-hour days. You had it the whole time.
Yeah.
But to communicate it down to that simple phrase, but then to be able to articulate that. Because what came out of that session, it wasn't taking 2 days to come down to the phrase. It was also building the backstory behind it. And there's stories now that you can recite and say, here's an example of how we did it when we started. Here's an example of how we did it 3 years ago. Here's an example of how we did it last year. And now that we've inculcated that using Josh's word.
Oh, he's going to be so happy we use that word in this podcast.
Yeah. Because we've done that. We now get success stories in our Slack channel almost every day.
Yeah.
And it wasn't we spent, you know, the hours coming up with the simple phrase. It was, why was that phrase is what it is, and how are we living it, or how have we lived it?
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of business owners fail, is you really got to nail down that journey, that story, that, you know, why you started the business, what you're trying to achieve, why it's important, and the intrinsic successes that come from that. Because that's what motivates people to take care of the customer. They're not motivated to make you money. They're motivated for their work to have value. And if they don't know why that value is, if they don't know why we're doing what we're doing. And to your point, there was a company I was working with earlier, or many years ago, and the different kind of culture, their culture was all about elevating the employees.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all at the expense of the customer. So there was constant trainings for the employees. There was constant, you know, growth and opportunity and elevating and all these success paths, but it was at the expense of the customer. Nobody was actually taking care of the customer. So why was growth and stuff stagnant? Because the culture was too much about the people, not the people in alignment to the journey. And it's not just the people. You take care of the people, they'll take care of the customer. You have to take care of the people in a manner that drives them to help and manage the customer to deliver the result.
I think it's so underappreciated by business owners. And I've even had some very big, successful business owners that even said this, is that they don't really even think that the vision is all that important. It's like, hey, they should just be happy that people have a job. There is a methodology to that. There is a way in which to run a business where, okay, you work here because you have a job and I pay you. But it doesn't create much in the way of a culture. And one of the worst pieces of advice I think I ever got, and I've said this a few times on this show, is that, you know, it's impossible to build a virtual business because you can't establish a culture. And I think that's been proven wrong. But I think it comes from the vision. Like, you have to have everyone understand that they're doing this. They're going to work every day. They're opening their laptop. We run a 100% virtual organization. So we can't, you know, we can't tell people like when to start work. Like, they have to be self-motivated to start work, but they also have to be motivated to work and do good work and feel like what they're doing actually really matters. And I think, you know, even though our HR guy is a millennial, it's like, I think it's even more so with this generation right now, Like, I'm a Generation Xer. I think you're actually a millennial, but anyway. But I'll say you're a Gen Xer. The point is I think now more than ever, people have to have a reason for why they work for an organization. Like, what are they standing for? Like, what do you stand for? Why are we doing what we're doing? In our case, we're trying to transform an industry because we see, like, the agency model is broken. And it is broken. And if you haven't listened to the last 10 or 20 episodes, we're fairly emphatic about this. And we haven't quite figured it out yet, but we know where we want to go. Mm-hmm. And I think telling people, like, that's our direction. And if we do that, then we help purpose-driven businesses achieve their vision. Like, that's the vision. And I think it's important for people to be able to latch onto that. That's why we have an incredible Glassdoor rating. I didn't even realize this. Like, which is really is like employees and former employees rating the company. It's like, it's insanely high. And I never realized this. Like, we were kind of doing it all along, but we hadn't crystallized it. Mm-hmm. And I think now that vision part is so important that it ties back into the culture. Where we were really going wrong is that we were just forgetting about bringing people along for the ride. We were just ready, firing, aiming, everything.
That's it.
Yeah. So vision, journey, culture, results. We'll leave a picture of the Haji wheel in the show notes. We've got to. So it will we'll actually spell out the word inculcate for Josh, just so you guys know, because it's probably the first time you've ever heard that word. It's the first time I had ever heard it when he said it to us. So anyway, as you can tell, we like to give our leadership team a lot of crap. So make sure that you do join our Telegram chat channel. I don't even know what it's called anymore. I'm just going to say it's Telegram thread, perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. We've got about 130 people in there right now. So we definitely want you to get involved. This is an outgrowth of those conversations. A lot of the folks that are in that group gave us feedback and said, hey, talk about some generalized business concepts. This is one of the biggest things I think that we've done as a business that's we really feel like we're coming out the other side right now to get to that next level of scale. And I want to make sure that you all sort of heard that part of the journey and make sure that you do, join that thread. Of course, subscribe and leave a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. We always appreciate that. All you have to do is just give a little 4 or 5 star on Spotify, especially. That's all you got to do. You don't even need to leave a review. It's just like you just touch it and then off it goes. So make sure that you do check us out on our YouTube channel. That's perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. I'll leave a LinkedIn, link for you as well. We didn't get to this. Let me just ask you this. Like, if somebody is looking for, maybe we can leave a link on the show notes. Somebody is looking to hire an integrator, get an integrator. How would you actually recommend them going out and finding one?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Yeah.
I might have to think on that one. That maybe if you're that dire, maybe just find me on LinkedIn message and I can refer to people in the in my network.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's associations out there, there's groups out there. If you're looking to roll out EOS, you can go to EOS and find an implementer that way.
That's true.
But I would say, yeah, there's. I'm gonna have to think on that one. I'll have to post an update.
Yeah, I'll leave a link in the show notes for a recruitment agency that we used. We ended up not using them, but they actually brought forth a lot of really good integrators and COOs. They weren't cheap by any stretch. These guys aren't cheap, but you get what you pay for. And if you do want to get your business to that next level of scale, you got to think of it as an investment more than anything else. So we'll leave some links there that'll hopefully will help you folks out. Make sure that you do follow me over on LinkedIn, and we'll give Qasim a shout out because he's working downstairs at the Wicked Smart Session at Qasim Aslam on all the socials. And yeah, thanks for coming on Perpetual Traffic for your first time.
Good to be on the first one.
Yeah, it only took 600 episodes gradually, or at least a year since we first known each other. So yeah, so on behalf of Ryan Hodges, COO at Tier 11, and also my awesome co-host, Qasim Aslam, who's actually doing real work right now. Until next show, see ya.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic,